Morning, and I extend my welcome to visitors. Great to see you folks again. You seem like regular visitors.
Yeah.
It seems you've been coming more and more, so it's lovely to see you. And those who are not so regular but are here, it's great to see you. And obviously, church family, great to see you as well. And it's so great to see Gwen and Gerald. Last time I saw Gwen, she was flagging me down in Bronglie's car park, hospital car park, and I thought, oh my goodness me, now what have I not done? What should I have communicated to Gwen? But praise God, isn't God's intervention in just the simplest things amazing? So Gwen and Gerald were there getting Gwen checked out after her incident in Co-op, or just outside Co-op, and they were looking for a car parking space. And whoever's been to Bronglie's car park hospital knows that car parking is at a premium. But praise God, we'd got one. We were coming out, and we were able. God's good. If we see God in those moments as much as those big life-transforming moments, then we just remember that God's got our backs, and God absolutely is in every little bit of the detail of our lives. So, great to see you guys. That's enough of the introduction from me. We're starting a new series, which Pete sort of mentioned earlier. The series is going to take us on that journey through Lent. And it's a series that we've picked up from called Inspired to Follow. And we're following notes that have been raised and created from a book by Michael Bowen, who was a former Bishop of Chester. Okay? And thankfully that we've been able to sort of draw out some really important things that we feel that are going to help us as we journey and are going to guide us as we journey with Jesus on his steps towards Calvary, on his each step towards the cross. And I think also we're going to be inspired by this walk that Jesus took, as we, through the upcoming series, remember that each step he took, he knew what he was going to face. It was taking him closer to the hideousness of the crucifixion. Now, we're not going to dwell on that, but we've got to be aware of that Jesus really suffered for us. So that leads me on to today's talk, and the title is Sharing in the Sufferings of Christ. And we're going to be dipping in and out of 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 to 11. In my own personal studies and when I'm preparing for this, I use the New Living Translation, and that's what I'm going to be reading from. But that's my personal translation. I know that the church Bibles are the NIV. But I'd recommend, you know, pick this up, because we're going to be drawing out of God's scripture today. And it's really important that I can stand up here and share lots of words that God's spoken to me about it, but actually I know that the real revelation from today's talk will come from the words that are in the Bible. Okay? And I think we all need to know that I can stand here and be as eloquent as I possibly can, but the revelation of God's word comes from his inspired word. So let's pray. Father God, on that note, I pray that as we dig deep into 2 Corinthians, into this letter from Paul to that church, those followers of Jesus, that you will reveal your majesty, your mystery, and a new revelation for us through the words on these pages. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right. So, straight into it. I'm going to start from verse 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to God's church in Corinth and to all of his holy people throughout Greece. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. Woo! Amen. Wowee. Wowee. I'll have some of that. In fact, I might as well sit down, because it's all in there, isn't it? It's all in there. Who'd have thought that the more we suffer, the more we're going to be able to bless others? Now, we know that in no way do we suffer in the same way that Jesus suffered for us. But what we can be assured is that through those sufferings, Jesus knows exactly how we feel when things aren't going quite right. So in preparation for this talk and thinking about the title, Sharing in His Sufferings, like I say, I've been struck by the knowledge that Jesus knew exactly that every step he took during this stage of his journey on earth that we reflect upon during Lent, each step was taking him towards enormous suffering. And because of this journey, the sweating of blood, the stripes that shredded his back, the loneliness after being deserted by his closest friends, some of those things that we may well have personally felt, the pain of illness, the fear of a situation that caused our palms to sweat, our heart to beat, and beads of sweat to appear. We may also have felt the loneliness after being deserted by some of our closest friends. I just want us to be reassured that even in those moments, Jesus knows and understands the emotional, physical, and mental suffering of us in our human frailties. And today, he's reaching out. We know from God's word, and just as revealed in this passage today, sometimes those savage moments that we cannot explain or describe or understand because we're believers. And why does that happen to us? We know that through Jesus' teaching that we're not immune to it, folks. We're not immune to it. We live in a fallen world. And at that point of fall, when the world turned into a sinful place, disease, loneliness, hardship, frailties all came upon us. And so we have to accept that. And I don't know why certain things happen to certain people who are good Christian people. I don't know why that. I can't answer that. But what I can answer is as we rely on God in those moments, God will turn those into a good, positive testimony that will reveal his love in us, to us, and to others. So as I say, we're reflecting through this Lent period and in this talk about the sufferings of Christ through the view and the eyes of Paul. The view that we're taking for this talk is from a perspective of the Apostle Paul. We will hear from Paul himself. You know, gosh, there was a guy who, you know, if anybody should have not suffered, it was Paul. He was out there, wasn't he? He was one of God's chosen. He was the man of the hour. He was out there. He was on a mission to transform the lives, the cultures, through God's word. But Paul himself was someone who experienced troubles. We read that they were crushed, overwhelmed, beyond their ability to endure. My goodness me. This was a guy who'd been beaten up, thrown out of a window, all sorts. There was this thorn in this, constant thorn in his flesh. But also, he was the guy who was raising people from the dead. And he's saying, couldn't endure it anymore. I'm going off piste a bit. I need to get back on. But we will hear from Paul. And as he draws upon his suffering and the suffering of Jesus and uses this as a reminder that even though we now live in the grace of God, and that's the key, we live in the grace of God, this doesn't exclude us from trials, difficulties, rejection, and disappointments. So as I've read in that scripture, I just wondered as I was preparing this, why did Paul write these words? And for me, and I only can, you know, this is me sharing what God has placed upon my heart, is I feel that the purpose is to highlight the reality that we will suffer. We will feel overwhelmed. We will feel crushed. And we will feel that it's beyond our ability to endure this anymore. Whether that's through sickness, through problems within our workplace, family relationships, financial difficulties. We will feel that. But, and this is the key for me, is it's rather than becoming victims to these moments and these trials and these troubles, these are moments that should act as signposts that lead us to lean in to our God's compassion, to God the Comforter, to really get grasp hold of that and say, and as we lean in and we rely more on God, we feel that comfort that comes from our dependence growing on him. So rather than these moments being, oh, woe is me, these moments are, yeah, I'm suffering here, but actually because of Jesus, because he knows and he can empathize. I can get through this, and I can share that this is uncomfortable, this is difficult, but my hope is in God and in Jesus to get me through it. In fact, as we see, Paul highlights in verse 8 his own troubles. As we read, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die." That's quite a powerful statement, isn't it? But he doesn't talk about these as a victim. He's not complaining about them or believing that. And this is another thing, folks. And this was something that really jumped out at me as I was preparing this and reading through this book, the notes from Michael Bowen, the former Bishop of Chester. There is, because we're going through something that's not good, it's not because we believe that there is something wrong with our spiritual life. Paul demonstrates that. Okay, he doesn't believe that he's going through this because there's something wrong with his spiritual life. No, Paul is talking from a place of victory. In verse 10 we see, "And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. And we have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." That is not someone who's saying, "Oh my goodness me, this is dreadful. I don't know where I'm going to cope." And that's the testimony that as a believer in Jesus Christ, if we can grasp hold of that, imagine what that flavour of conversation we will have with our neighbours the next time we're in the co-op. Imagine the sound. I just want us to sort of grasp hold of that. We've all got testimonies to share. And I don't know what people are going through here, but I'm sure people are suffering at this moment in time, in whatever way. And it's how we respond to that. Who are we relying on to get us through that? By highlighting these things in these few verses, Paul is pushing our focus upwards to God the Comforter, which for us as believers in Jesus, in our faith and dependence on God growing. The thorn in the side for Paul is still there. But as we are wrapped in the arms of the shepherd who lays us down by still waters, something incredible happens. An incredible dynamic of being so connected with God, so sold out to God, so reliant on God. No longer does Paul complain as a victim, but he's living in victory. Now, I think that that's something that really, as we journey through this Lent period, as we recognise and get more and more connected with God, God's going to transform something and change a dynamic in each one of us to enable us to be living in the victory of the cross. So as I come to a close today, let's just take a moment to picture that what if. Yeah? Let's just take a moment to picture. Let's the Spirit and God speak and reveal what that would look like to us. That picture of total reliance in whatever the situation on God. And as I read verse 9, in fact, I just want you to apply this maybe to a situation that you are facing. whatever size or enormity it might be, whether it's sickness, whether it's relationships, whether it's you've got to go to work tomorrow morning and have a conversation with someone and you don't know where it's going to go. It could be as simple as that, because God cares. Just like he cared about making sure that as I pulled out of that car park, we could give Gwen and Gerald that same car parking space. If we rely on God wholeheartedly, so in fact, let's just picture this. Picture what it would look like, those conversations tomorrow, if we, in fact, were expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. So as we rely on God, as we picture that, imagining that, we stop complaining. We remind ourselves that Jesus knows a thing or two about suffering and start relying on God the Comforter. And I'm talking to myself here, folks. This is something that God is really revealing. Even this morning, God is revealing something new and powerful through his word to me about this. I just believe that as we capture this and we see this picture, wow, and I've written this down, wow, how attractive will the life of being a believer in Jesus be to those around us? It'll be amazing. Folks, imagine as we radiate peace. What a fantastic way to evangelize to someone. What a way of sharing our faith with others. What a way of flavoring our conversations that will transform the lives of others in our neighbours, our work colleagues, the folks we meet down at the co-op. What a way of demonstrating the attractive life of being a believer in Jesus Christ. So, I thought I'd end with a letter that I received this morning. And that letter came to me as I was sat here, and it comes from the Book of Peter. And this is me relying on my personal relationship with God and believing that there is no better place to get guidance, support, and comfort in my life and a reminder that Jesus loves me than in his word. And so we're just going to dip in and hear a letter from Peter in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 19. And like I say, every day God reveals something different, a personal connection with us. And it goes like this. Dear friends, isn't that lovely? Dear friends, can't get more relational than that. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange was happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. So be happy. Be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian. For then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So, in closing from Peter, if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to God who created you, for he will never fail you. And I've written, with love from Peter, in my margin. Dear friends, can't get better than that. We've got a message here from Paul and Peter. I just ending with this picture. How attractive will the life of being a believer in Jesus be to those around us? Imagine, as we radiate peace, what a way of evangelizing, what a way of sharing our faith with others, and what a way of flavoring our conversations to transform the lives of each person that we're going to meet this week. We're going to close with a song that is an anthem. We've sung it already this morning. Thank you to Josh. He's been very generous with his patient with me as I've worked around various songs in my mind. As we rely on God, as we seek out God, we will be able to push the good stuff out, irrespective of how we're feeling or what we're going through at that moment. Thank you, Josh. Amen. Amen.